Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. And today we have a special edition. Not only are we focusing on the NFC South today, but we also have Tom in the studio.
What is up?
And we've done a show before for football, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done a show before, so probably be as good as the one last. We both got some practice.
Maybe a little better.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of months.
Yeah, so nothing really changing today. Like I said, it's NFC South, except we got Tom here, so you're going to have two people giving their thoughts on the teams in the NFC South. We're going to be talking about the Bucks, the Falcons, Panthers, and Saints. A lot of storylines to talk about there with the Bucks. Bit of a disappointing season last year. Had the hurricane happen over in Florida, so they had their bye week one. After that, had to play 16 straight games. Jameis Winston dealt with a shoulder injury also. Just seems like Jameis Winston's on the cusp of being, I don't want to, maybe a great quarterback, but can't get the turnover issues out of the way. Also, probably needs a bit of a maturity, if you've paid attention.
I don't know if he's just biting his fingers off of his hand. Done. Is he done with that yet? Or licking his fingers?
I
whatever
so.
He was doing?
That was one of the,
that was the most weird thing of the season last year.
One of the more awkward things I've watched last year. But yeah, we got the Bucks right there. And we got the Falcons last year. Made the playoffs, beat the Rams in the wild card game. I wasn't their biggest fan. Not the biggest Steve Sarkisian fan either. Don't like the way that he was running the offense. Don't like the fact that it seemed like Julio Jones was more of a decoy in the red zone. And then we got the Panthers. Cam Newton finally might have a receiver. They drafted DJ Moore there. But that requires Cam Newton to be a little bit more accurate, at least more accurate than he's been over his career. So we'll talk about the Panthers. Also, seems like Christian McCaffrey's going to be taking over, although they did bring in CJ Anderson. And then we got the Saints, who are looking like one of the best teams in the NFC. You have Drew Brees coming back once again. He only needs about 100 and some change yards in order to become the all-time passing yards leader, I believe. I have to double-check that stat. We got Alvin Kamara coming into his second year. Mark Ingram going to be suspended for the first four games. So a lot to talk about today, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This division is really interesting because, you have two athletic quarterbacks in Cam Newton and Jameis Winston who are both, I mean, Cam's still pretty young. And then you have two MVP level, I mean, they got actually two MVPs. Cam's got an MVP and Matt Ryan's got an MVP. But then you have the other two guys, the more in the pocket, pick apart, I mean, just going to go shred your defense and Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. Obviously, Matt Ryan liking the payday he just got. But, yeah, this season's going to be interesting. These matchups, these guys, obviously, they'll play each other twice. And I don't think any team usually goes 2-0 because they always beat up on each other.
Yeah, this would be, I mean, the NFC as a whole is pretty good. I don't think there's one truly bad team. I mean, the Bears are a team who I think they're probably not going to be making the playoffs or anything like that, but you'll see them improve. And
I bet you Seattle will be terrible this year.
You think so?
Seattle's roster. I mean, they did sign Brandon Marshall. Woo. Whoop-de-doo. But
yeah, I mean, but with Seattle, though, I mean, two biggest things you need to be in order to be a good team is a great head coach and a great quarterback. I think they can mask a lot of the problems, but we'll see. Well, let's get into this NFC South talk. We'll talk about the Bucks first. So basically, I mean, talking about last season, like I said, they had to play 16 straight games. Jameis Winston was dealing with a shoulder injury, and it didn't seem like Dirk Koetter wasn't the best man for the job there. We saw some rumors towards the end of the season about John Gruden. He ends up going to the Tampa Bay, or not to the Tampa, he ends up going to the Oakland Raiders. So I think that's why Koetter ended up staying another year. But, I mean, looking forward to this year, I'm trying to build up this Tampa Bay bandwagon a bit. I want to believe in Jameis Winston, but it's just, there's too many boneheaded mistakes that he makes, okay? And you see, he's always going to be tied to Marcus Mariota, and I believe I talked about it on yesterday's show, actually. Marcus Mariota, other than this past season, has always been good as far as taking care of the ball. Jameis just hasn't. I think that's the one part of his game that he needs to fix up in order to join that upper echelon of quarterbacks. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's like, We watched him in the Hard Knocks last year. Was that last year, right?
Yeah.
And I just every time I felt like he was taking a step up and then just take a step back and take a step up and take a step back. I mean, Marcus Mariota seems just much more like a smart, altogether is going to stay in the pocket, go through his progressions and then run. Jameis just wants to run. And the fact that he's had the weapons that he has DeSean Jackson take the top off the defense. He's got a good possession receiver in Mike Evans. He's got two good little, he's got O.J. Howard now as this tight end. He's got Cameron Brate too. He's got weapons. They pick up Ronald Jones. We'll see how that happens with this season. He's obviously a rookie coming in from USC. I love that pick, by the way. Ronald Jones coming into the Bucks, but because they need kind of a bell cow running back to offset. I mean, I think if they can get a guy like Ronald Jones to really hit hard this season, his rookie year, take a lot of pressure off Jameis, get that play action, get passing game running. Because when you get play action, you see that's why Marcus Mariota was good last year, because you had Derrick Henry and you had DeMarco Murray putting that defense on notice, and you had those linebackers just creeping up behind the line of scrimmage or behind their defensive line, and Marcus was just able to pick right over their heads, over the middle to some of his more. I mean, he has what he had Delanie Walker as their tight end, Delanie had a great season last year. So I mean, those post routes over the middle because the linebackers were coming up in the box. So if Jameis can get some action like that with Ronald Jones, I think they have Charles Sims and
Barber too.
Peyton Barber, and so obviously they lose Doug Martin's gone, if they get that running game working with the passing game, I think it's the biggest thing that they've been hurting on, is they are too predictable in the offense, basically.
And like you said, I mean, you said O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, Mike Evans, who they just gave a new deal this past offseason, and then DeSean Jackson, and then you got Ronald Jones. I mean, there's really no reason for Tampa Bay to be as bad as they were last season. Like I said, last season I'll give them a pass because the whole bye week, week one and all that, playing 16 straight games. Jameis was hurt. That's fine. Whatever. It's just a throwaway year. Okay, but this year I don't think there's really any excuses. I understand that they also play in a tough division where, I mean, you had three teams make the playoffs last year. That doesn't really mean anything to me. I could care less, okay? When you got Mike Evans, who I think we both could say is a top 10 receiver, right?
Yeah, I mean, I drafted him in my fantasy league. I think I've done it with him the last 2 years. And it just seems like he's disappointing because with receivers, you got to have somebody to throw the ball to you. He's got little issues with some temper tantrums. Didn't he miss a game last year? He got tossed out of a game, got suspended for one because he was messing around with somebody on the sideline, checking some players down. He's got some things between the ears to figure out, but he's definitely got that athleticism. He can go up and get the ball. I mean, Jameis and him, if they can get on kind of that Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, scenario where you're going to basically have the same. You can just kind of make a motion, run a deep route, yeah, or I'm going to throw the ball up to you, or run a post. Like if they can get on the same like non-communicative conversation kind of thing like that on the sidelines or in the huddle, that'd be great.
Yeah, and then plus two, it's not only the offense there; they probably had the worst defense in the league. I go back and forth between them and the Raiders. I mean,
their secondary was terrible.
Yeah, you see in the second round, they spent two picks on cornerbacks. They took MJ Stewart, quarterback out of North Carolina, and then Carlton Davis, cornerback out of Auburn. Obviously, they're trying to fix up that secondary, and they also took Jordan Whitehead, safety out of Pittsburgh, in the fourth round.
And Vita Vea, too, their first-round pick.
Yeah, they take him in the first. I thought that was a bit of a reach. I'm not as high on Vea as many others are, but I mean, if he could do a job there.
I don't know about a pass rusher, but that run defense is going to be a lot better because he can clog up those holes in the middle, and that run defense, this guy's huge.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest questions I think with Tampa Bay is not their offense, because I mean, they got the talent, and Jameis obviously is going to be healthy this season, but it is their secondary, so if they're able to fix that up, plus you got Brent Grimes still there, I believe. So I mean, it's not terrible. You're just going to need these rookies to step up big time, especially considering the fact that you have to play Michael Thomas and Drew Brees two games mm-hmm. a year, like you said. Also got to play Cam Newton, who just knows how to... He just has a knack for winning. Mm-hmm. And then you got Matt Ryan, who won the MVP 2 years ago.
I think the Falcons are going to be... The Falcons are going to be good. Because, yeah, like you said, if they're going to... Even if they already have C. Sarkisian using Julio Jones as a decoy, and then Sarkisian worked with Calvin Ridley in Alabama when he was there. So you think Calvin Ridley, if anybody's going to be a rookie, I think Calvin Ridley went to the absolute perfect team. There was no other team that was better than the Atlanta for him, because I think he's going to be a guy who's open a lot this season.
Yeah, we'll be mentioning probably Atlanta. Probably the next thing we'll talk about Atlanta. But also with Tampa Bay, I mean, it's just a matter of they're not going to win the division. They'll be a wild card type team if they are that good this season. I mean, you still got to compete with teams like the Cowboys are going to be a team who's going to be up there. The Giants should be better. Detroit, Green Bay, I think I have Minnesota winning that division in the North. And then, like I said, you got Carolina, Atlanta, and I think New Orleans is going to be winning that division mm-hmm. this year. And the NFC West, I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there. I think Arizona is a team that's being very slept on right now. The Rams are probably the most complete team in the NFC on paper. San Francisco's on the come up right now, and then you mentioned Seattle earlier. I think Seattle, I think they could finish maybe around 9-7, 8-8. I think I picked looked at their schedule the other day, and I think I had them going like 8-8 or 7-9.
They got to play. They got to play. Their two home games are against. Well, they have home games against the Chiefs and the Vikings, I think. So I'm like, ugh. I looked at the, I was doing the same thing. I was looking at their schedule yesterday. I'm like, where are they going to get some wins? Because Russell Wilson, I do a fantasy football show, so I was looking at Russell Wilson. Why is he ranked the number two quarterback? We'll get to that later.
He's a top five quarterback, so I understand that. Russell Wilson's also a guy.
Who's he going to throw the ball to?
You got Doug Baldwin out there. You got Brandon Marshall to do a job, but nonetheless.
Oh, man.
Let's see how we have the Bucks doing this season. All right, we'll go through the schedule and pretty much make our picks. I'll make my picks, and then Tom will make his, and then we'll see where we're at as far as what we think of the Bucks, I guess. All right. So let's see. They got the Saints week one. I'm going to say that's in New Orleans. I'm going to say that's a loss. What about you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we both got them going 0-1 week one. Then they got the Eagles week two. I'm going to say that's another loss. The Eagles are probably one of the best teams in the league coming off of the Super Bowl win. What do you think?
That's a rough 1-2 punch right there. Yeah, they're gonna have the Eagles at home. Yeah, they can win that game.
So that's 0-2. Then you got the Steelers week three. That's a Monday nighter. I'm going to say another loss. So 0-3.
Monday Night Football, they'll lose that game. It's a loss, but that'll be a good one. Yeah, that'll be a good game.
Too, but yeah, we'll say 0-3. Then they got the Bears in Chicago. I'll take Tampa Bay that one. I'll say that's their first win.
Yeah, they
got
to get out the Schneid. Bears at home. Bears could be. I think you talked about the Bears. They could be a sleeper team too. So I mean, yeah, I'll take the Bucks to get out the Schneid 1-3 because they got the Falcons next week at on the road as well.
Yeah, so I'll take 1-4 there against Atlanta.
Yeah, same here. 1-4.
Then they got the Browns. I'll say 2-4.
Okay, they get a win at home against the Browns, and I'll say that's going to be like a 17-10 game.
Yeah, they're heading to Cincy after that. We got them at 2-4 right now. They're in Cincy. I'll give them a win there, so I'll say 3-4.
Yeah, if Jameis can play well, the defense is kind of hurting, but yeah, we'll play it. Yeah, Bengals. No.
At Carolina, I feel like I'll take the Bucks here, but I'll say that Carolina ends up winning in Tampa Bay. So I'll say 4-4 there now.
Yeah, it's my birthday game. Let's say I got to take Cam on the, at home.
All right, so you got him at
that game. Those are the splits because that's like the against the Panthers. I think they match up. It's pretty even, so I'll take the home team in those ones.
So you got him at 3-5. I got him at 4-4. Then they got Washington. I believe I picked Washington in that one when I was talking about Washington. I got him at 4-5 there.
Yeah, Redskins, I like Alex Smith on that team.
All right, so that's 3-6 for you. At New York, I'll say 4-6.
That's another 10 o'clock game. Yeah, the Giants, I'm not high on the Giants this season. I think they might steal that game. And, because I like the way that they kind of match up against them. I guess it's the Giants, their secondary is decent. So, yeah, I'll take the Giants at home. So I think they can work that one.
I got them at 4-6. You got them at 3-7 versus San Francisco. That's a home game. I'll take Tampa. So I got them at 5-6. What about you?
I got to take the Niners.
All right, you take them. You got them at 3-8.
3-8.
5-6. Then you got Carolina at home. I picked Tampa Bay to win.
I'll take Tampa Bay in that one. Yeah, the home team.
I think I got them at 5-7. You got them at 4-7 right there. Or no, 4-8.
Yeah.
Versus the Saints at home, I will take Tampa Bay there, so I got them at, 6-6? What about you?
Yeah, I'm thinking I could steal that one at home.
All right.
They could bounce off that win, get a win two in a row against the division.
Okay, then we got them at Baltimore. I'll take Tampa Bay there still. So that's 4 wins in a row for me, actually. Or actually,
yeah, 4.
3 out of 4, actually, because I picked them to lose against Carolina at home.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, and, yeah, I got the Bucks on the road. Try and get a little streak going there to get them to, 5-8 or something like that, I say.
Yeah, then they're at Dallas. I have them losing at Dallas. I think Dallas is going to be pretty good this season.
Yeah, Dallas will win. They should win all their home games. Right. If you're a good team, you should win all your home games pretty much.
And then versus Atlanta at home, week 17, I'll take Tampa Bay winning there.
Yeah, I'll take Tampa because I think Falcons will probably already be in the playoffs and they'll rest some players maybe.
Yeah, so I got Tampa Bay basically being anywhere from like a 7-win to, I guess,
6 wins, which is exactly where ESPN has them.
Yeah, so I guess the range for me would be anywhere from 7 to like 9 wins, probably somewhere in between there. I don't think they're going to hit 10 at all this year. I mean, it's going to be tough to win 10 games in the NFC just given all the competition. So
ESPN has them at 6.5 wins, which is compared to last season, I think it was like 9.5, 10.5 wins.
Yeah,
that's their FPI. They were them and the them and the Raiders were the most underperforming team last year, yeah, based off of like the season preview, easily.
Yeah, so yeah, we both got them about 7-6 wins, so I guess that's pretty much on par with everyone else. So we're gonna wrap it up here, talking about Tampa Bay. Next up, like I said, we'll be talking about the Atlanta Falcons. So stay tuned, and we will both be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Like I said, this is the NFC South edition. We also got Tom here. We talked about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first segment, and we will now be talking about the Atlanta Falcons. In that Bucs segment, basically just the overview, talked about the fact that Jameis needs to be better. There's no excuses going into this season. All right, you got a healthy team going in. The only problem with Tampa Bay for me is their defense. They spent a lot of the draft on defensive players, drafting Vita Vea in the first round and then taking two corners in the second round and also taking a safety in the fourth. All right, so we'll see if those are able to help. Of course, you got Brent Grimes still back there. But nonetheless, I mean, Tampa Bay for me, anywhere from like a 7-9 win team. I believe Tom had them at 6 wins, so they'll probably be in that range. But nonetheless, now we're going to be talking about the Falcons. All right. Last year, the Falcons finished third in the NFC South at 10-6. I believe that was the same record as, actually, they were a game worse than Carolina, who was 11-5. New Orleans also 11-5, but New Orleans won the division based off of tiebreakers. Looking at Atlanta last year, it was very frustrating to watch. Okay, Steve Sarkisian, as good as a college coach as he is, I don't think is really, and I might be jumping the gun here because it only was 1 year. But nonetheless, when you see Kyle Shanahan take that team to being one of the best offenses in the league, going to the Super Bowl, and then the next year it's just a completely different team where it's the defense who's really winning them games except for the offense, I thought that was a problem, okay? I understand that it was, what, his first year possibly as an offensive coordinator. I haven't really checked his past history as a coach. But nonetheless, when you've got Julio Jones, you've got Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, okay, and then you got a bunch of other options like Taylor Gabriel out there, you should be putting up 25-plus a game. And I don't really think that's too much given that, I mean, you got a bunch of talent out there. You got the highest paid running back at the time, okay, as far as yearly salary on average. And then you got a top three receiver in Julio Jones. Also, let's not forget, Matt Ryan won an MVP 2 years ago. So, yeah, like I said, I don't think I was being a little too harsh on the Falcons last year. It's just when you're watching them, I mean, Julio Jones should have been better. Matt Ryan should have been better. Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman should have been at least running the ball 10 times each, like at the very least. All right, so I wasn't a big fan of the way Steve Sarkisian ran things last year. What do you think of him?
I think that they're reloading kind of this year, obviously coming in, having to lose. You lose Kyle Shanahan, the guy's a genius. Like the fact, obviously, that he's in California now. But, no, I agree the fact that Sarkisian coming in, the guy's got some baggage, doesn't he? But no, they looked good against the Rams. I guess they just had all their tricks were out against the Rams, and then they came into Philadelphia and got frozen or something like that because they could not move the ball for anything. And their defense is actually playing really well. So I mean, if their offense could have done anything in that game, they could have unseated the eventual Super Bowl champions in that game because their defense was playing really well against Nick Foles. But no, I agree. Obviously, I think they did lose Taylor Gabriel in the offseason. He's on the Bears. But they get obviously Calvin Ridley. I think you were talking about off air the fact that Sarkisian was kind of using Julio Jones as a decoy too much in the red zone, or you mentioned it, you did mention that, but I think the fact that they might be using him even as a decoy other times now, because the fact that if you're a defense, you're going to bracket him every time. You're going to put a safety over the top, you're going to put a corner underneath, and you're going to make the rookie beat you. You're going to make the Austin Hooper beat you. You're going to make Muhammad Sanu beat you. You're not going to let Julio Jones beat you. And the chemistry that him and Matt Ryan have together is almost unheard of, other than maybe a Big Ben and Antonio Brown. But no, I think Calvin Ridley is going to be a big rookie X factor this season for them. And then obviously in their running game, you got to get that ball out. And if you can get those pass catching running backs involved, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and I get what Steve Sarkisian might have been thinking as far as using Julio Jones kind of like a decoy, like I said. But there's a point where you got to get the best player on your team the ball at least 15 times his way, okay? Even if it doesn't work, Julio Jones should be getting a steady target number of about like at least 10 to 15 at the very least, okay? He's that good, and he needs to get the ball. I get the whole, like, they're doubling and stuff like that. But like I said, just in order to keep your receivers happy and all that, well, especially your number one player, something we could argue, Matt Ryan means a lot to that team, but, I mean, you take Julio Jones away from there, they have no offense, basically. But nonetheless, I mean, you mentioned that Rams game last year in the playoffs. I think Atlanta ended up winning that one just because, I mean, the Rams, that whole team has never really been in the playoffs before. I mean, that team was badly, like, terrible the year before with Jeff Fisher as the coach. All right, and it's a bunch of younger players who are still on rookie contracts, Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and all those other guys there. So I think experience is one thing that came down to it. And as far as the game against Philly last year in the divisional round, I think that was one where, I mean, neither team really played well. It was a very low-scoring game, but also I think that it was a matter of coaching is what won Philly the game rather than Atlanta, okay? I do like Dan Quinn and all that, but I like Doug Peterson and that staff a whole lot better. And also, Eagles did lose a couple of guys as far as their offensive coordinator. I believe he's now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts since Josh McDaniels ended up turning down that job. But nonetheless, I mean, Atlanta, I'm not really sure what to rate their season last year. I mean, is it a success? Is it not successful? They didn't play well. They did win a playoff game. So, I mean, I guess it's a bit of a wash there. I mean, I don't know. You go from being one of the more dynamic offenses in the league to being a very bland offense where you're relying on your defense to limit the other team's scoring. As always, that's always the goal or whatever. But nonetheless, you get what I'm saying, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's kind of the genius that Shanahan is. And you put Sarkisian in there as kind of the college atmosphere. I think this year might be a little bit different, but last year was tough. I mean, that's a failure. You had a chance to win on the road again, back-to-back games. Obviously, you knew going into the playoffs that you're going to have a tough gauntlet. You're going to play on the road against the Rams. You use experience to beat them, and then you go up against an Eagles team with a backup quarterback, and you hold them. What was the final score? 17-14 or something like that?
It was like something low score.
Yeah, it was a really low-scoring game. So your defense, Dan Quinn's a defensive guy. Your defense is on top of it. You're holding him to points, and you can't get your offense, which is supposed to be your strength, to get going. And what was going on? So you got to definitely be disappointed after that game, knowing that you let one slip away. And watching the Eagles hoist the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season probably was another knife in the chest, probably, because obviously the year after you lose a 28-3 game that you're winning to the Patriots and then come back and lose to the eventual Super Bowl champions again, that's going to be gut-wrenching.
Yeah, especially so. But now moving on to this season, we're here in OTA time and all that. Julio Jones is nowhere to be found. I mean, well, they know where he's at, but nonetheless, I mean, it's always a story whether or not this player's at OTAs, Tom Brady's at OTAs, Gronk's not OTAs or whatever, you know. It's always just
everyone went crazy when he deleted his Instagram or all the Falcons stuff off his Instagram feed and his Twitter. And now, of course, he says, "Oh, there's nothing's going on.
Yeah,
I'm good."
And as far as like players missing OTAs, I mean, it's not really a big story to me. I could care less about a bunch of dudes running around in shorts. I mean, once training camp comes, maybe I'll start paying attention. I mean, because in reality, it's just it's the combine for pros, I guess. You know, and just learning the playbook. Like I said, you're out there in shorts, not really doing too much or whatever. So I have no problem with Julio Jones. We all know what kind of player he is, and it's kind of like with Tom Brady not being at OTAs. It's more so they're trying to push that story that was brought up back in Week 15 about the tension and all that. But if you're Tom Brady, you're 41 years old. What do you need to be at OTAs for? I mean, Brett Favre hated going to training camp as it was. That's why he retired so many times. All right. But nonetheless, yeah, I don't really have a problem with Julio not being there. There's talks about whether or not he wants a bigger contract. And Julio signed a deal, I think, a couple years ago where he's making about 14 mil. Now the market for a top receiver like Mike Evans and all that, Jarvis Landry's making 15 million right now. I think You got Antonio Brown, who's making about 17, somewhere around there. So I can understand why Julio Jones wants a larger deal if that's the case. But like I said, I don't really have a problem with him not being at OTAs. I don't think it's much of a story. What do you think as far as players like not being at OTAs? You think it's a big story? You think it's just that?
If you're past your fourth year in the NFL, or even your third year maybe, it's not mandatory for a reason. So, I mean, it's obviously there to go refine your skills. If you're a veteran, there's no reason for Julio Jones to go to OTAs. And you already saw Hunter Henry, the guy who tore an ACL.
Yeah.
Number one tight end for the Chargers. Done. Done. Yeah, so if there's any chance for you to get hurt, if you're the one of the number one options for your team, stay away. Stay away till you're – I mean, obviously, training camp is a different – people get hurt there too. But you really don't want to get hurt in shorts, not whether it's a non-contact injury or not. I'm sorry. Just keep your players safe. Best civility is availability. You'll figure it out. You're a veteran. You know how to run your routes.
Yeah, people throw on the whole, well, he needs to be a leader out there for the young guys. That's what the quarterback's there for, Julio Jones.
Stand out there in your little cabana hat with the sunglasses on and look pretty. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the leadership role, that's for the quarterback to take over. So I really don't have a problem with Julio Jones not being there. But, I mean, other than that, Atlanta's still got a pretty good team right now. I do think that they'll be better on the offensive side of the ball. I think they'll be fine as far as defense goes. I mean, there's no real reason to worry about that at all. So we'll see. Let's see. They drafted Calvin Ridley, number one. Took Isaiah Oliver, cornerback out of Colorado, number two. I think you could have did without that pick. You got Trufant and Alford out there, who I think are both, or actually probably one of the best cornerback tandems in the league. So I think maybe that's a depth pick, but also you can't get any like. So you always want to get better on defense.
Yeah, cornerback is. I think you should draft at least one cornerback every single year.
Because yeah,
they're just they're such a commodity. You need to cover receivers, and they get hurt a lot. I mean, some of these teams. Like, okay, we're on our third corner now. We're pulling some guy off the street, off the practice squad. Where's all of our rookie? Where's our development? So I think corners are never. It's like offensive linemen. You never should not draft them.
Yeah, and then you got third round. They take Deidrian Sinat, defensive tackle out of South Florida. Fourth round, they take Ito Smith, running back out of Southern Miss. Sixth round, they take Russell Gage, wide receiver at LSU. And then the second pick of the sixth round, they take Foyesdale. Oluokun. I don't know. A lot of these guys in the draft had a bunch of difficult names to pronounce, but he's safety out of Yale. All right. These seemed like, except for the Calvin Ridley pick, these seem to be a lot of depth moves here for the Falcons. And, I mean, like I said, they don't have a bad team now. It's just a matter of, I guess, reinforcing the little spots. You're like, hey, maybe we need something here or whatever. So I don't have a problem with it. I think Calvin Ridley is going to do good this season. And he's like, what, 24 years old already?
I think he was a senior. He played all 23, 24. But no, this team, the biggest loss this team's had in the last 2 years was their coach. I mean, this is a team that was in the Super Bowl and was 23 points up or 24 points up in the Super Bowl, 25 points up in the Super Bowl, and should have won that game, obviously. You can make all the 28-3 jokes you want. But, yeah, this team is talented, has the roster. You got a defense that can play as well. You got a defensive head coach. I mean, that's kind of like a nice combination you see in the NFL. You have a defensive head coach with a very efficient offense. Obviously, last year they hit a little snag in Philadelphia. But this is a team that rolled through the playoffs 2 years ago, was heavily in the lead against the Patriots. It was some act of God or something. The football gods wanted Brady to get into the ring, so they made it happen. But no, this team is like steps away from making it back to this playoffs again, and could make a run just like they did 2 years ago.
Yeah, as far as making them get back to playoffs, let's look at their schedule and see what we both got them going at. All right, so week one, they're in Philadelphia. I mean, that's a loss for me right there already off the bat.
That's going to be a good game. Nice little bang rematch of that game, of that playoff game. The NFL knows how to set up those matchups. That one depends. I think they win if Nick Foles plays. If Carson Wentz can't come back week one, I'll take the Falcons. If Carson Wentz is there, I'll take the Eagles.
And be with my pick. I'm just assuming that Foles is going to be the quarterback week one, so I'm still going to take the Eagles. I really like Nick Foles as a quarterback as far as playing on the Eagles. So I got him at 0-1. You got him at 1-0. Then they got the Panthers at home. I'll say that's 1-1. You're going to give them a win there too?
Yep.
All right, so you got them at 2-0. Then they got the Saints at home. I'll give them another win there, 2-1. What about you?
Saints at home.
Yeah, this one's in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. Yeah, I'll give a tough-fought victory.
All right, so that's 3-0. I got them at 2-1. Then they got Cincy in Atlanta. I'll give them 3-1 right there. Mm-hmm. So you got them at 4-0. Then they're at Pittsburgh. I'll say that's a loss, so I'll go 3-2.
Yeah, Steelers get that one.
All right, so you got them at 4-1. Then they got the Bucks at home. I'll say 4-2.
Yep. We'll win that one.
5-1 for you. Then the Giants at home. I'll say 6-2.
That's a night game. That's a primetime game. That'll be interesting. But yeah, they'll probably win that one too.
All right. So you got them at what? 7-1. I got them at 6-2. Pretty good for the Falcons so far. Then they're at Washington. I'll give them a win right there. So I'll say about 7-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll win that one on the road. It'll be an interesting game.
At Cleveland, they got a pretty easy schedule here. So they're at Cleveland.
I'm looking at the right. I'm like, what? Where is their games? I mean, they have to play at Saints, at Packers. That's about it.
Yeah, that's all about the end. So at the Browns, I'll give them the win there too. So I think that's 8-2. You got them at 9-1 there.
Yeah.
All right. Then they get that. They're against the Cowboys. I'll go with the Cowboys on this one. So I'll say about 7-3. Or actually 8-3.
Yeah, you got to win your home games. I'll say 9-1 to start off. They're gonna lose. They'll lose next week against the Saints, but they got to win their home games.
All right. So yeah, they're at the Saints. I'll give them a loss there. I see that's 8-4 right there. I think right now you got them at 10-1. What do you have them here against the Saints?
So yeah, it'd be 10-2.
10-2. Ravens. I'll say 9-4. You gonna give them the win there?
By December 2nd, I bet you their quarterback will be. Not Joe Flacco. I'll take the Falcons in that one.
All right, so you got them at what? 11-2, I believe. I got them at 9-4. At Green Bay, I'll give Green Bay that one. So that's 9-5 for me.
That'll be a good game. Green Bay gets the win at home.
So you got them at what? 11-3, I believe, versus the Cardinals. I'll give them the win there.
Yep.
So I got them at what? 10-4, 10-5, 10-5.
12-3 already for me.
All right. And then they're at the Panthers.
11-3.
Yeah. Actually, I think, 12-3, actually. Yeah, 12-3 for you.
Well, there's two more games left. That doesn't add up.
Well, it's 14. Yeah, so you got them at 11-3. I got them at 10-4 or whatever. So then they're at the Panthers. I'll say that's 10-5.
Yeah, 11-4.
All right. And then at Tampa Bay, I think I gave that to Atlanta. So
they're
already
11-4. I'll take Tampa Bay because they're going to be resting players.
Yeah, so you got them at 11-5. I got them at 10-6. So pretty similar there. So I got them winning anywhere.
11-5 was one game better than last year, which won the division.
Yeah, so I got them from going anywhere from, like, I guess 9 to 12 wins in that little range. I guess you have them in that same range.
Schedule. Look at this cupcake schedule.
Yeah, it's really easy during the middle of the week. They
have road games against the Browns, and obviously playing the Bengals at home. Yeah, the Eagles game, that honestly, I probably lost. So they're closer to 10. I'm closer to where you are, 10-6.
We're just in that range.
But, I mean, they do play in a tough division. You got to play the Panthers and the Saints on the road. Obviously, you got to play them twice. But, I mean, this schedule, I love to have that schedule.
Yeah.
Got to beat the Cowboys at home. That's going to be a big game for them.
Yeah, so we'll see what ends up going on. But we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we'll be talking about the Carolina Panthers, talking about Cam Newton and all the guys out there. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, me and Tom have been covering the NFC South. We've talked about the Bucks and the Falcons. We both got the Falcons. I think he's got the Falcons going 11-5. I got him going 10-6. So basically in that range right there. And then he has the Bucks going 6-10, I believe. And I got him going 7-9. So been pretty close as far as our picks for this season. But nonetheless, now we're moving over to the Carolina Panthers. Carolina last year finished 11-5, almost won the division, except they lost due to a tiebreaker. So I ended up making it as the first wild card team. Ended up playing the Saints, I believe, in the wild card game itself. And watching that game, Carolina was good enough to, I don't want to say good enough to win it, obviously, because their secondaries would kill them. But nonetheless, let's say this, if they had a decent secondary out there, they would have won the game. Okay, so they had all the pieces out there ready to go, except it's just the secondary, I feel, that let them down. And usually with Carolina, I mean, the years before that, secondary was always, the defense as a whole was something that, you know, you could count on, obviously losing Josh Norman and a couple other guys after that. Since that time when they made the Super Bowl has obviously brought the quality of the defense down. Now it's more so a team where you depend on Cam Newton a whole lot in order to get you those wins that you need. And with Cam Newton, I mean, he's a top 10 quarterback for me, but it's more so in the 10, 9, 8 range, I feel. Just given the fact that he's a great quarterback as far as taking off with the ball, and he knows he's that quarterback. He does the intangible stuff. He knows how to get the win for you, and he can take you up and take you down the field and get a win for you. But it's just the accuracy is what kills me with that guy. What do you think as far as Cam Newton as the quarterback? You got him top 10?
Yeah, probably about the same as you, like 8, 9 right now. Just his athleticism is great. His size is great. His ability. But he, I mean, he's been the leading rusher. I mean, I don't know about last year with McCaffrey, but he's been the leading rusher for that team a couple different times during the season a couple years ago. But, I mean, the guy is a freight train. I just think he kind of reminds me of a Colin Kaepernick problem where he throws the ball too hard, needs to work on that touch. And if obviously he has that great highlight last year where he's in the red zone and they had, what was it, Clay Matthews was trying to guess what play they were going to run, and he's like, oh, watch this, and he throws a perfect little over-the-middle pass to Christian McCaffrey. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to make his job so much easier. Another year with him and the chemistry kind of working together is going to make him take so much pressure off him, because not only is McCaffrey a weapon, just handing him the football, you can throw it to him in pretty much any scenario, whether it's a screen or just a little dump pass. It'll be a great little security blanket for Cam coming up this season. I think something that he hasn't really had to a dynamic running back like that in his career. He's been the dynamic running back for that team in the past. So I think coming up with McCaffrey's second season is going to be even better. The fact that they went 11-5 within his rookie year is great too. So
yeah, you mentioned that little moment where Clay Matthews calls out the play and Cam Newton still ends up scoring. I mean, Cam's just got that it factor. Okay, I bring up his accuracy and stuff, and that's pretty much the only knock on Cam is his accuracy. But like I said, he's got that it factor. So I mean, you can't really hold it against him as a quarterback. He's still going to get the job done one way or another. So, like, I don't hate Cam Newton by any means or anything like that. It's just you would like for him to work on his accuracy. I prefer that in my quarterbacks.
There's, like, a potential level. It's, like, way up here, like, head level. And then he's, like, always sitting right around chin level. It's, like, he wants to reach. Just reach that potential, Cam. Get up there. Don't try and undersell yourself.
And there's also the point of maybe the accuracy issues maybe have to deal with the fact that he hasn't always had the best receivers. I mean, Steve Smith left pretty early on in Cam's career, left the Panthers where they cut him early on in Cam's career. And since then, I mean, he's been throwing to guys like Devin Funchess, Kelvin Benjamin, who I think is maybe a glorified number two receiver, if anything, now with the Bills.
Now he's going to get Torrey Smith. He'll have a legit deep threat. And they draft DJ Moore, who's supposed to be really, really good.
Yeah,
so
DJ Moore thought of as probably being one of the best receivers in the draft. I really like that pick at number one. That's where I'm more. You know what, Cam? We're finally going to take care of you here. You
don't have to keep going. He was the first receiver taken, right?
Yeah, I think it was DJ Moore, and then Ridley was after that. But nonetheless, yeah, I like Moore there. Then second round, they take Dante Jackson, cornerback out of LSU. Third round, they take Rashawn Golden, cornerback out of Tennessee. Fourth round, they take Ian Thomas, tight end out of Indiana. Second pick of the fourth round, they take Marquise Haynes, outside linebacker out of Ole Miss. Fifth round, they take Jermaine Carter, cornerback out of Maryland. Seventh round, they take Andre Smith, inside linebacker out of North Carolina. And then the second pick of the seventh round, they take Kendrick Norton, defensive tackle out of Miami. It shows me that Carolina knows where their weaknesses lie, okay? And that's within the defense. They take, I think it was, yeah, three cornerbacks. All right, take a couple of linebackers and also a defensive tackle. They know that in order for this team to get where it needs to be, they got to go back and build up the defense. All right, back when they made the Super Bowl against Denver that one year, obviously the Carolina Panthers' offense was as dynamic as it possibly could get. Cam Newton, I think, accounted for like 40 of their team's touchdowns that year, some absurd number. All right, and then you had the defense, though, where, I mean, it was probably one of the more complete teams in the league, okay? I think the only reason why they lost to Denver was because of the fact that Denver literally had an all-time great defense there. I mean, that is probably one of the best defenses that we've seen.
Wasn't Peyton in his 15-yard passes?
Oh, yeah. I can't stand when people try to...
The legend of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, especially in his last season. Oh, Peyton finally got one in his last year. Von Miller won him that Super Bowl. Right? Yeah. Von Miller was far and away the best player in that game. But nonetheless, I mean, haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl since. Made a couple of playoff appearances, never really did much. So I guess this year, I mean, the whole point is, like I said, just to build up that secondary, build up that defense, because they did have a team good enough. It's just the secondary was their weak spot, mm-hmm. and the Saints found a way to exploit that.
And their front seven is solid. Quan Short, Dontari Poe, Julius Peppers, Luke Kuechly, Shaq Thomas, Thompson, those are all perennial Pro Bowl players. So, I mean, their front seven is stacked. Thomas Davis, they, like you said, they need to get that secondary figured out.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be missing, what, Thomas Davis for four games, I think, because he failed the PED thing test. Yeah,
he popped on something.
But nonetheless, he'll be back ready to go. But, I mean, I do like Carolina this year. I'm expecting them to be, I mean, just as good as they were last season, if not better. You added C.J. Anderson. Of course, you got Christian McCaffrey going into his second year. C.J. Anderson probably will get more of the in-between tackle type of runs. McCaffrey obviously going to be used more as a guy who could throw in the slot or catch passes out the backfield, but he will get some touches in the backfield also. It's just more so McCaffrey's got to figure out a way to run in between the tackles a little bit better. But I do like the fact that now you added DJ Moore. I think that was my favorite acquisition of the offseason for them, even though it took place in the draft. So, I mean, as far as Carolina goes, last year they were a very good team. I mean, let's say they beat New Orleans. I'd say that they probably would have made it pretty far, maybe could have possibly ended up playing Philly in that NFC Championship game. I think Carolina was a team that probably could have beaten Minnesota. Of course, we'll never know, so it's all just a bunch of ifs and hypotheticals there. But nonetheless, like I said, I do think Carolina is going to be pretty good this season, if not very good. Comparing them to the Falcons, I'd say that right now they are a better team than the... I don't know. Are they a better team than the Falcons? On paper, I don't think so. But it's just, like I said, with Carolina, Cam Newton, they just got like that it factor. They know how to get the job done, yeah?
Yeah, I just... It's tough to compare. They're just... I think they're a better version of the Bucs. They're kind of what the Bucs want to be with that running athletic quarterback. The Falcons are just a different team. It's really going to come down to their defenses. Both the offenses are going to have their times to click. They're going to get in rhythm. I think, like I said, Christian McCaffrey in the second year is going to be a huge addition, obviously, into that offense, getting in more touches more. And then, obviously, having that C.J. Anderson veteran aspect of it, too, will be able to pump the brakes a little bit, too. So, yeah, I'd say Carolina. I just think that Matt Ryan is more of a polished quarterback. So I think if the both offenses were at their highest octane, Atlanta's probably a little bit higher at their highest point than Carolina could be, but they're just two different offenses. Cam could just run for 100 yards. Matt Ryan can't do that.
Yeah, no. So I mean, I think we both think Carolina's gonna be a pretty decent team this year. What do you think about them?
I'm looking at their schedule right now. I mean, they do have to play at the Eagles, just like the Falcons do. They open up with the Cowboys at home. That'll be an interesting game. Basically, if they can win their home games, which, I mean, looks like their home opponents are Cowboys, Bengals, Giants, Ravens, Seahawks, Saints, obviously the division guys. But, if they could win their home games, they should be just fine, because they got some road games. They're at Lions, which win that game. Obviously, they're at the play at the Browns. It looks like the NFC, obviously, because your whole division plays another division, so the NFC South is playing the AFC North this year.
Now the NFC North probably at its weakest point. I mean, the Browns could be a team that surprises, but I mean, you got to wait and see on that. It's not really something.
And they're playing the NFC East, obviously, Redskins, Eagles, and everybody else in the NFC East. But so let's go, Cowboys.
Yeah, so let's go through and see what we got going on. So week one, they got Dallas at home, Wayne, Carolina, I should say. I got Carolina winning that one week one.
Yep, Carolina.
All right, so that's 1-0 for the both of us. Then they're at Atlanta. I'm going to say 1-1 there.
Yeah, I think the Falcons take that home game.
Then they got the Bengals. I'll say that Carolina tanks that one.
Yeah, so win their home games.
Yes, we got them at 2-1. Then they got the Giants. I'll take Carolina there also.
Yeah.
0-3-1. At Washington, I'll take Carolina there.
That'll be an interesting game. That's a 10 a.m. game, obviously, just going off the coast. I'll take Alex Smith in that one. I'll take a surprise Alex Smith home win.
So you got them 3-2. I got them 4-1. Then they're at Philly. I'll give Philly the win there.
Yep.
So you got them at 3-3. I got them at 4-2 versus Baltimore. I'll take Carolina there. So I got them at 5-2.
Yep. 4-3.
4-3 versus Tampa Bay at home. I think I gave Tampa Bay that one. So I guess I'll give it back to Tampa Bay right here. So I'll say 5-3? Yeah, 5-3. What do you got them at?
I got them winning, so they're both 5-3.
All right, so both 5-3. Then they're at Pittsburgh. I'll say that's a loss right there, so I got them at 5-4.
That's going to be a primetime game. I think it's a Thursday night game. Yeah, it's a short week at the Steelers. Yeah, Steelers will get that one.
All right, so 5-4. Then they're at Detroit. I'll give Carolina the win there, so I got them at 6-4.
Yeah, that's their good home win. Road win right there. They'll beat the Lions. Yeah,
then they'll be at Seattle, so I'll give Carolina the win there. Seattle, home, I mean, that's really the fortress that it used to be, so I got them at 7-4.
That's 6-5 for me.
Yeah, and then we got them at Tampa Bay. I'll give I think I got Carolina winning there. So, I mean, I got them at 8-4 there.
Yeah, they're going a little winning streak here. So they get them. Yeah, so that's 7-5.
All right. And then they got the Browns. I'll say 9-4.
Yep. 8-5.
And versus the Saints. 10-4 for me, since that's a home game in Carolina.
Beating the Saints at home. I think the Saints match up against them so good because the linebackers are going to be just running around with those, and they're playing late in the season. Obviously, Ingram will be back. They'll be really testing their secondary. I think Drew Brees picks them apart in both those games. That'll be a Monday night game. Drew Brees plays so good on Monday nights. I'll take the Saints on the road.
Saints. All right, so he'll take the Saints. I got them winning, so I got them at 10-4 right there. Then they got the Falcons and Carolina. I'll take the Panthers there, so I got them at 11-4.
And yeah, they split this series, so they'll win the home game.
Yeah, and then they got the Saints at in New Orleans. So I'll say 11-5 for Carolina this season, which would be the same as last year. So they'll be up there competing for the division once again. You think that's about accurate?
Yeah, that's probably accurate. Like 10-6, 11-5. I probably have them at. I think if I finish it off, I think I'm at 9-7 for them. Just going through these games.
Yeah, I mean, 9-7 would be so anywhere from like 9 to 12 wins. I guess that's the.
They just got to win They got to win their home games. They got to win their home games and play well in division. Yes. Obviously, that Steelers, whoever scheduled that game does not like them, because obviously they got the Bucks at home, and then they got a short week. Obviously, it's coming off two home games, probably two wins, but they got a short week on that Thursday on November, what is that, November 8th, against the Steelers on Thursday Night Football. That'll be an interesting one for them.
Yeah, so we both got to be pretty good. So we're going to wrap it up there. Next up, we're going to be talking about the New Orleans Saints, so stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, me and Tom have covered the NFC South. Only one team left to talk about, that is the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, so far, that means we've talked about the Panthers, Bucks, and Falcons. I mean, this division should be pretty good. The Bucks, I mean, I got them going 7-9. Tom's got them at 6-10. We're both pretty similar as far as our records with the teams we've talked about so far. I think I had Atlanta at 10-6. And then Carolina at 11-5. So, I mean, it's pretty much just shaping up to be just like last year, honestly, with the way we've talked about it. But nonetheless, now we're going to be talking about the Saints. Saints last year were a fluke play away from making it to the NFC Championship game, okay? And for you Minnesota fans, I mean, yes, that was a fluke. Usually that won't ever happen again, okay? As great as you thought that was, it was an amazing moment. I'll give them that. But nonetheless, the Saints were the better team.
Would have made for a great NFC Championship game, unlike the one we had.
Yeah, with Minnesota getting blown out by Philly. But yeah, I do think that New Orleans would have given Philly a better game. And I think New Orleans was the more complete team. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, it didn't happen that way. The Saints ended up losing in the divisional round due to, what's his name, Marcus Williams, I think his name was, safety. Yeah,
he just slipped a tackle. And went for the legs and then took out his own player.
Yeah, you hope to see that's not something that really affects him going forward. Because that is a big moment. I mean, if you're paying attention to social media after that, I mean, they were straight up just going after the guy.
No, he's very talented. I mean, the fact talk about drafting. That's why I think the Saints, they made that draft pick. They drafted Marcus Davenport in the first round this year. That was a heat check pick. Because last year they picked, Marshawn Lattimore first round. Then they got Marcus Williams last year second round. And then they got Kamara third round. Talk about the first three three picks.
Those are three starters
Those are three starters right there in your on your team. Boom, boom, boom. 1-3 rounds, and then they start on your team, and you go 11-5. So, yeah, that was a heat check, and I think they're due for another good season this year, for sure.
Yeah, and even with Marcus Williams, I mean, he had that one bad play, but people forget he actually had a pretty decent game where he had an interception also, so... Yeah, they end up losing there, obviously. I mean, they beat the Panthers.
That was coaching. Jesse.
What was coaching?
That play.
That play?
You just, you're in a timeout. Sean Payton, grab Marcus. Don't go, knock the ball down. Just knock the ball down. Don't go for the tackle. Don't go for the big play. Stay on the side. All he had to do was tackle him in bounds.
Yeah,
let him catch the ball. Let him catch the ball and tackle him in bounds. Oh, gosh. I've thought about that play. It's like coaching. That was just it's a rookie. He's a rookie. He's still a rookie. I don't care how good he is. I don't care how good the game he's had. He's still a rookie. You got to tell the kid, let him catch the ball. Tackle him in bounds. That's all you got to do.
There's that, but I also think it was more of a bang-bang play where it's like...
Oh, it was definitely a bang-bang play.
Yeah, coach could have told him whatever, but I think it's more so. It's more of like just the judgment decision, whatever. I think he got there a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in the position.
He didn't want to get called for a flag. That's why. He didn't want to get NFL'd, basically. So he went low and thought he was a little early for that play on that ball. Like you said, it was early.
Yeah, I just don't think he was in like position to knock it down. So it's just one of those where what can you do? But nonetheless, now going into this season, I mean, we got Carolina and Atlanta both being very good teams. I don't expect the Saints to really get worse or anything like that. If anything, I mean, looking at their draft, they take Marcus Davenport with the first pick, like you said. He should be a nice guy to pair on the opposite side of Cameron Jordan. Third round, they take Tre'Quan Smith, wide receiver at UCF. I think that New Orleans currently is searching for that number two receiver. Last year was Ted Ginn, but I mean, Ted Ginn's not really that guy that you really keep there for too long. All right, fourth round, they take Rick Leonard, offensive tackle out of Florida State. Fifth round, they take Natrell Jamerson, safety out of Wisconsin. Sixth round, they take Kamen Moore, cornerback out of Boston College. Second pick of the sixth round, they take Boston Scott, running back out of Louisiana Tech. And then the seventh round, they take Will Clapp, offensive guard out of LSU. I mean, they took one, two, three, four players on the offensive side of the ball, three players on the defensive side of the ball. So very balanced draft. And I think with the Saints, it's more so like with the Falcons, a lot of these picks were just for depth, mm-hmm. except for the Davenport pick, where he probably will be a starter day one. So I do like their draft.
Yeah, it won't be like last year. Last year, they had four starters in the third round. I forgot about Ryan Ramczyk. He started right tackle, first round pick last year.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how many picks they hit on. I mean, they got the defensive rookie there, Marshawn Lattimore, and the offensive rookie, and then Alvin Kamara. So, I mean, usually that you never see that. I mean, usually you're happy if you get maybe a starter and then a couple of guys, you know, oh yeah, these guys are definitely going to be starters for our team in the next couple of years. But they definitely hit on their draft last year. That's one thing. I mean, Sean Payton's always really been done well. And one thing too with that draft last year, I mean, that's a big plus right there, because last season you saw that the Saints more so moved over to being a team where it's not just Drew Brees throwing the ball 40 times a game where you're just relying on his arm and hoping that the defense doesn't give up 30 plus. All right, last year it's where defense is going to give up less than 20 and you're going to have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram pretty much be the bulk of the offense. And then when you need to throw the ball, oh yeah, we got Michael Thomas, who for me might be a hot take. I think he is a top three receiver. Mm-hmm.
I love Michael Thomas.
I would take Antonio Brown.
I love Michael Thomas so much.
I'll take Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins over him.
That's about it.
And then I guess I'd decide between Michael Thomas and Julio right there for that three spot. Mm-hmm. I know people like Julio a lot. Last year, I think with Atlanta's offense, which we touched on.
I thought you were going to say Odell. I'm like, don't even say Odell.
Odell went healthy. He's a top five receiver. But
yeah,
that's
number
five. That's a conversation for a different day. But nonetheless... Yeah, we touched on it. Julio just didn't look good last season for me. But nonetheless, yeah, you got Michael Thomas out there. So, I mean, looking forward to this season. It's just a matter of, I guess, trying to make the most out of Drew Brees' last couple of seasons, okay? Let me see. This year, yeah, they didn't take a quarterback this year. So, obviously, they're rolling with Brees for the next couple of years. And one thing we saw, too, in
the signed
draft,
JT Barrett from the Ohio State Buckeyes, though, not undrafted free agent.
So, yeah, JT Barrett will probably be a practice squad guy for his career or whatnot. But, yeah, we saw a lot for this draft. I mean, people didn't really... I don't think people thought too highly of the quarterbacks, like the mid-round guys, like the Luke Falk mm-hmm. and all that. Mason Rudolph went in the third round to Pittsburgh. And after that, we just saw... Just a few rounds where, I mean, there were no quarterbacks taken. We thought that maybe this teams like the Saints or the Patriots would be teams who maybe planned for the future. But I think with the Patriots, too, we saw them trading for a lot of picks for next year. Something that's what these teams are going to be gearing up for. Obviously, when you got the four quarterbacks going in the first round, obviously it was slim pickings after that. But, yeah, now it's just trying to maximize Drew Brees' last couple of years, kind of what Denver did with Peyton Manning as far as Peyton Manning's skill level is going down. So let's build up the defense and give him any way possible to go out and win a Super Bowl. All right, and I would say that the New Orleans Saints are a top four team in the NFC right now. I'd say that the Rams are currently better than them, but the Rams, I mean, on paper.
I like drafting defenses versus mercenary defenses. The fact that they've drafted their defense, they have a young core versus bringing in Aqib Talib for a year, bringing in Marcus Peters for probably a year. Their safeties. They have Mark Barron. I'd like to say that I've talked about the Rams for a second, but the Saints, they were, the second best defense in the league last year?
I'm statistical
third best behind Jacksonville and Minnesota?
as far as my opinion, I'd put them behind Philly. I'd put them behind the Rams defense, behind Minnesota's and Jacksonville. So I'd say they're top five, but more that four or five, maybe six, depending on what you're looking at. All right. But like I said, I mean, now it's just a matter of just getting there. Okay. You had a game in the divisional round where, I mean, the safety makes a play. You're playing the Eagles in the NFC Championship, and I think that would they would have gave Philly a better game in that NFC Championship game rather than Minnesota. So now it's just a matter of dealing with that tough division and dealing with the tough NFC. All right, we both got the I got the Falcons going 10-6. You got them at 11-5, I believe, and I got the Panthers at 11-5. You got them at 10-6. So obviously, those are records good enough to go out and win your division. All right, and plus, I mean, it's not only that, you're also dealing with the tough NFC out there also. So as far as the Saints go, they should be a very good team. Sean Payton, definitely a top five coach in the league. He's got a Super Bowl before, and now it's just a matter of winning your divisional games and pretty much just doing the little things as far as the playoffs go. Okay, so let's look at their schedule, see what we got them going, and then, yeah, pretty much see what we got them going at. So week one, they got Tampa Bay. That's in New Orleans. I got New Orleans winning that one. What about you?
Yeah, that's a win.
So then they got the Browns week two. I mean, I'll say that's a New
also
Orleans win right there.
A win. 2-0.
Yeah.
Nice start off the season. Nice little scheduling. Thank you, NFL.
In Atlanta, I'll give that one to Atlanta. So I'll say 2-1.
Mm. That I think I don't want to contradict myself. I don't know. I think I said the Falcons probably winning that one. It's all the same teams. It's because of the same division. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no. I think I'll take the Falcons in that one because it's at home.
So you got them at 3-0. I got New Orleans at 2-1.
No, 2-1.
Oh, 2-1. 2-1. Yeah. Excuse me. I misunderstood you. Then we got the Giants in New York. I'll give that one to New Orleans. It's just a matter of whether they'll be the better team there.
Yeah.
So we got them
the win there.
3-1. Then versus Washington, I'll say 4-1 there.
Yep.
At Baltimore, 5-1. I don't think Baltimore's going to be very good.
Keep it rolling.
All right. At Minnesota, I will give that one to Minnesota. I think they're going to be a much better team with Kirk Cousins. I like Case Keenum, but he only did it for a year. Kirk Cousins has been doing it for four, plus everything Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins and Case Keenum last year, I mean, basically had the same stats, and Cousins did a whole, I mean, pretty much match Cousins or Keenum's stats pretty much with a whole lot less. So with an upgraded team, I think Cousins will be a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. The Vikings this year.
Yeah, so I got them at 4-2 there. Then we got the Rams in New Orleans. I'll go with the... That's a tough one. This is a pick 'em game here. I'll give the Saints this game since it's at home.
Yeah, pick 'em game, got to take a home team.
All right, so that's 5-2. Then they're at Cincinnati. I'll take 6-2 there.
Mm-hmm. 6-2.
Versus the Eagles, another pick 'em game. I'll go against the green here. I'll go with Philly in this one.
Yeah, Carson Wentz should be just fine by then. They'll play. I think they. Not, that's a tough. That's a tough. How is that not a primetime game? I like the Saints at home. They play really well at home.
All right,
I'll go against you there.
You got them 7-2. I got them 6-3. Then Atlanta in New Orleans. I'll say 7-3 there.
Yep.
All right. So you got them at 8-2. I got them at 7-3. At Dallas, like I said, I think Dallas is going to be a good team this year. I'll give that one to Dallas since it's at home for them.
That's the primetime game. Okay, yeah. That's the 5:20 start, November 29th. Hmm. Okay, Cowboys at home.
All right, so you got them at 8-3. I got them at 7-4. Then they're at Tampa Bay. I think I got the Saints sweeping Tampa Bay this year, so I'll say 8-4, I believe it is.
Bucks are down.
All right, so you got them at 10-2, I believe, or 9-3, I believe, actually. Then we got at Carolina. I will give that one to Carolina.
Yeah, Panthers get the win on the road. This is interesting. They got Panthers are stacked up at the end of the season here. Hey, tough little sledding there at the end of the year for the Saints.
So I believe I got the Saints at 9-5 right there. Then we got the Steelers in New Orleans. I'll take New Orleans there.
Yeah, I'll take this. That'll be another good game. That's a tough pick. That's a pick'em game again. Saints at home. Yeah, that makes, I think, what, I have them 11-4 right now.
Yes, 11-4. I got them at 10-5. Then they got Carolina to finish off the year. I'll say that's 11-5 right there, finishing off the season.
Yeah, I will say I'm going to say they lose that one because they're going to be breasting. So 11-5, finish off the season again.
All right,
same record as last time.
We got Carolina. Or I got Carolina, New Orleans finishing 11-5, Atlanta finishing 10-6, and Tampa Bay at 7-9. That's basically just a repeat of last
same
year.
Same as last season. But that's just the way the schedule worked out, I guess.
Yeah, the NFC South does have a pretty easy schedule. But again, all of these games are pick-em ones, especially given the fact that, I mean, it's going to be tough against Dallas. It'll be tough against Philly. It'll be tough against Minnesota. But nonetheless, the Saints should be a very good team. And again, these are all way too early season predictions. So, I mean, I guess I got them anywhere from 11 to 13 wins. Like 10 to 12 wins, I guess. Let's say that's their range.
It's a good range.
So, I mean, don't take this to the grave or whatever with these picks. But nonetheless, the Saints should be a very good team. I think Drew Brees is going to do well. He'll probably break that. We will break that all-time passing yards record. Like I said, it's only 100 yards and some change there. I think Kamara, too, one thing we didn't really touch on so far, but we could finish off with, is Mark Ingram's going to be out for the first four games. Okay, last year, Kamara already looked like a superstar in the making. Mark Ingram very well could lose that starting job. But again, the Saints might not want to change too much with it. But with him missing four games, that's a lot of time for Alvin Kamara to go out and impress. What do you think?
No, I think that what made Kamara so good last year is the fact that he was able to work off of that, work off of Ingram. The defense, whether he come in on, he had a good third down back. They ran a lot of two back sets. So I think that he might get a little overwhelmed within those first, especially by week four. I think he'll be very happy to see his buddy Mark back for week five. But no, they run a lot of two back sets where Ingram will be a decoy coming off of play action. They'll hit Kamara on the other side of the formation. So I think that the fact that they worked together so well last year is a big key to his success. And this season, he's going to have to do some work. Obviously, he's got time to prepare because he knows, obviously, Mark's not going to be there. Ingram's not going to be there. No, I think they're better together.
Yeah, and this is a contract year for Mark Ingram, too. So, a four-game suspension. I mean, let's just say that Kamara does play well and does take over that starting job. Well, I mean, of course, it's not like Ingram's not going to see the field, but more so we'll be seeing Kamara more. Ingram could lose some money out there, but nonetheless, we'll wait and see how it all ends up. So, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Like I said, today we covered the NFC South, talked about Tampa Bay in the first segment, Atlanta in the second, Carolina in the third, and New Orleans in the fourth. So we'll go back, and if you want to check anything out, that's how it's going to go down. But nonetheless, thank you, Tom, for being on the show once again today.
Of course.
And like I said, this is the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back with you tomorrow, so stay tuned for that, and I will talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.